This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Thursday, January 13th. It was a great Wednesday. Thank you all for the nice shout-outs. It was very kind of you on the birthday. It was, it's so weird. I think I said this last year, and I felt this way for a while. Like, nobody really likes Facebook anymore, right? Facebook sucks. I'm never on there. But on your birthday, it is pretty cool if, like, in the evening, you go on your Facebook page and you've got all these people who you don't really talk to. You know, they're friends from elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and you don't see them. You haven't seen them in decades, and they're giving you birthday shout-outs with maybe some funny memories from, like, when you played video games in seventh grade. And I will say, that is the only redeeming quality, to me, about Facebook. I know a lot of people go on there with the politics and stuff. I just feel like it's such a dumpster fire. I basically go on there to brag about my kids and update my family on my kids and then give people birthday shout-outs. That's basically the extent of my Facebook, but you guys don't want to hear too much about my birthday, or do you? I mean, this is a podcast all about me. No, I know you guys are here for sports. I've got some takes today. I've got to say, like, I know I'm supposed to come in hot every day. That is challenging. Right now there's a lot of good stuff happening, so it makes life a little bit easy. I will say, before I get to a couple NBA things that are happening, I just got to say, the NFL coaching, it sounds like everybody who's going to be fired has been fired. And now I believe there are 7 coaching openings. And, of course, there's a bunch of GM openings. And, you know, if you try to pay too close attention to who's interviewing who, your head will spin and it's boring. And you're like, what am I doing? This is a wasteland. Just tell me, you know, let me wait till it's winnowed down to the finalists. It reminds me of, about 5.5 years ago. Yeah, 5.5 years ago. It was like 6. I'm basically trying out auditioning for FS1. And this is way back many moons ago. And they flew me out to, I think it was San Francisco for the Super Bowl. And, there was not much of an audition, but it was like, hey, we're going to try these shows. We're going to have you come on one of them and then go on another one. And I was like, all right, yeah, sure. And you're thinking, you feel great about yourself. You're like, oh, man, this is awesome. They want me. And then they're like, all right, we're going to fly you back out to LA. And then this time, there's a lot of other people there. And the room's kind of full. And, you know, they're like flying you out 2 weeks later. And this time there's new faces. And you're like, damn, how many people? I thought I was feeling good about myself. And it's funny because they did have a pretty decent eye. Everybody that they brought in pretty much. I just know the guys that I was in there with. It was like Kyle Brandt, who ended up at NFL Network. Nick Wright, who's at FS1. Joy Taylor at FS1. I guess I probably shouldn't name some of these other people because I don't know where they are or what they're doing. There was a pretty prominent female who I don't even know if she's in sports anymore. And a couple former athletes who have been on shows. Everybody's pretty nice, but there is a competitive nature where you want to play nice when you're arguing and disagreeing with somebody trying out for a TV show. But at the same time, you kind of want to, I don't want to say make them look bad without making them look bad. Does that make any sense? Because I know you guys know what the deal is. If you're sitting at dinner with some people and somebody treats a waiter like crap, you know that eventually that person's going to treat you like crap. And I tell you, in my life experiences, that is 1,000% true. You know, people you're with, maybe you don't know them that well, and you see them just talk nasty or down, and you're like, whoa, geez, it catches your eye. You notice it. Just remember, that eventually will come to you. Eventually. And you don't want to be that way when you're auditioning for a TV show for somebody with somebody else, but you want to let everybody know, like, hey, not only am I more informed, but I'm funnier and I can get in a dig while being funny and accurate and not being combative. It's a fine line, and I struggled with that for years, still struggle with it a little bit right now. But I bring this up because of the head coaching situation in the NFL, and I saw one of these websites, I think it was CBS, said, the Raiders have the best coaching job available. I'm like, what? What? The Raiders are in the playoffs right now. And they're taking money almost by the day here against the Bengals. And I know the Raiders fired Gruden, and nobody believes this guy, Bisaccia, whatever. Nobody thinks he has a chance. But folks, there's sharp respected money on Vegas here. There is a case to be made that, hey, tight ends, I remember George Kittle, I was on the 49ers, have annihilated Cincinnati this season. Just crushed them. Mark Andrews, go look at his numbers. Tight ends have killed Cincinnati. They rank near the bottom of the league defending tight ends. Well, Darren Waller's healthier. He played all right against the Chargers, but he's going to be back. There's a scenario where he goes bonkers and they control the clock. This is not a great Cincinnati defense, and the Raiders steal this game. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but there's a scenario where the Raiders win, and I'm going to keep it real with you guys here. I know that nobody expects the interim coach to keep the job, but what happens if they win a road game in Cincinnati in the playoffs? I mean, are we definitely firing the guy and saying, hey, thank you for your service, we're going to move on and bring in someone else? Now, because of the way the playoffs are structured, it's not clear if a lower seed than Vegas will advance. I mean, I guess I'd have to look at, I think the Patriots. No. Who is the, is Vegas the seventh seed? That's pretty bad. I guess I should know that. But, I mean, I guess if they had to play Tennessee, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, would it? I mean, I know they're coming off rest, and this would be a back-to-back road games. But does anybody really believe that Tennessee's that nasty of a team that they're going to kill the Raiders? We don't know if Derrick Henry's playing. Now, I looked it up. The Steelers are the seventh seed. If they somehow shock the Chiefs, they would face the Titans. The Raiders would probably not face the Titans. Actually, no, the Raiders are the five seed. So the Patriots also are ahead of them. Wow. Listen, the Raiders are in a decent spot, folks. Again, I don't think they get by Cincinnati. I'm going to officially wait for tomorrow to give out the picks, see what's going on with the injuries to the Raiders. Like, Darren Waller is a big deal. Hunter Renfro, a big deal. That Raiders defensive front really killed the Chargers. And it's not like the Bengals have a great offensive line. So there is a scenario where Max Crosby eats, Darren Waller dominates, and the Raiders win like 20-17 and they advance. And now can you fire the coach? Is that really the best coaching job? I'll tell you what isn't the best coaching job. Undeniably. The Giants is not the best coaching job. Now, the Miami Dolphins is pretty good, but you don't have a quarterback, which leaves a lot to be desired. You know, Denver Broncos, I mean, they somebody goes in there, if they can convince a quarterback to come there or if they can draft one and develop them, that's a home run. That's a great job. Minnesota Vikings have the best quarterback of any opening, but what about the rest of the job? Like, who's going to be the GM? That team's very old. I think they have three defensive starters who are free agents who are, like, over the age of 32. A lot of rebuilding going on in Minnesota. And do you love Kirk Cousins? So, I definitely don't think the Raiders' job is the best coaching job. All the turmoil they went through. I totally disagree. I think it's still a little bit early on that. Honestly, Miami's been close to the playoffs twice. So I would kind of have to lean toward the Dolphins. But you're in a division with Bill Belichick and the Buffalo Bills, who are, you know, pretty decent with Josh Allen. But nevertheless, if you look at the nucleus, I would have to go Denver Broncos, who are in a division with Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. And the Raiders made the playoffs hell. But I just think the Denver team is ready to pop if they can get a quarterback. So I guess that's how I would lay out my best coaching job. But it is still pretty early. We got to see what happens in free agency. Although, of course, coaching is going to be locked up before free agency because nobody is picking them. I guess a GM could technically pick players without knowing the coach, but who's signing where they don't know who the coach is? Like, come on. And the coach has to give some instinct on what they want to do. So I don't know. I guess I would go Broncos slightly over the Dolphins.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The only game that I've really, really struggled with for wildcard weekend on the gambling front is the Eagles. I don't know what's going on with Tampa Bay. This Ronald Jones is doubtful. And I know people are like, Ronald Jones, who cares? Come on, that guy's nothing special. Really? Leonard Fournette's been on the IR. I mean, we expect Leonard Fournette to be back, but are we certain? Are we 100% sure Leonard Fournette's going to be good to go? That to me, you're not going to be able to run really against the Eagles, and now you're relying on Tom Brady to drop back probably close to 50 times, doesn't have the benefit of a bye week. Gronk will get his. The kid Grayson, who played well against the Jets and also against the Panthers, he's injured a hamstring. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, how many guys are not going to be there? And meanwhile, the Eagles, everybody rested. They basically played their practice squad last week against in the finale against the Washington. I'm sorry, against Dallas. And this is an Eagles team that could be dangerous. I don't know. This is the one game I haven't really dabbled in yet. I did lay it with Kansas City. You know, again, I've seen a lot of people making a case for the Steelers. I don't see it. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, this is a team that got destroyed by the Chiefs when they did not have Kelce and Tyreek Hill was coming off COVID and had, I think, two catches on the first drive and nothing after that. Pittsburgh just not built to hang with the Chiefs the way they dink and dunk. Kansas City and Spagnuolo will eat that up. I saw that, because I have to do this gambling show today, I saw this stat that I will definitely be firing on. Ben Roethlisberger, second lowest average depth of target behind Jared Goff. It's all dink and dunk. And that's just not how you beat the Chiefs. You got to throw the ball down the field the way Herbert did, the way Burrow did. And if Ben cannot do that because the offensive line stinks or he's just afraid, he wants to uncork the ball quickly, I don't see a path to success for the Steelers. I know people want to hang their hat on Mike Tomlin. Hey, Mike Tomlin always shows up in the... Okay, if that's all you want to go on, go for it. That's good luck. All right, I want to quickly move off the NFL just for a little bit and do a couple minutes here on the NBA. Dwayne Wade said something interesting. The retired great shooting guard, one of the great shooting guards in NBA history. Dwayne Wade came out and said, yeah, we can all talk about, you know, Michael Jordan being the GOAT and all this stuff. Well, guess what, folks? They forgot about Kareem. They're going to forget about Jordan. This is what people do. They're going to forget about greatness. And he has a decent point. It's not too long ago that Joe Montana was 4-0 in Super Bowls, and he was the greatest quarterback ever. I mean, Tom Brady surpassed him, obviously. But I don't really hear... I mean, I guess people don't do the who's the best quarterback of all time, but people love to mention Elway, love to mention Marino. It's like, eventually, time moves on, new players are really, really good, and we forget about guys. Like... Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a case to be the greatest of all time. No doubt about it. But guess what? A lot of the people, a lot of these bozos writing lists where they argue it, they were never around. I mean, Jabbar stopped playing in the late 80s. I got t-shirts with Jabbar on them. There's guys who are writing and talking, and they never saw Jabbar play. They're just looking at the resume. And like, listen, anybody can look at a resume and say, well, that one's better than this one. I think. Well, come on. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was utterly dominant. He was like 37, and I think the MVP of the finals in 85 against the Celtics. And I remember watching that because my dad, huge Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fan. You know, Abdul-Jabbar outspoken, even back in the 80s. And of course, he wore the goggles, and he kind of lumbered down the court. He was, you know, he had the sky hook, which was kind of untouchable and like a classic shot. Like, Jabbar was just a likable dude. And he's got like a second career now as a pundit who opines on social issues. Interesting guy, although I'm sure a certain segment of the population really doesn't like him. But I guess that means you're winning, right? When a lot of people don't like you. So yeah, I'm not saying people will forget about Jordan. Obviously, he's always going to be there near the top. But yeah, people are going to come along and do impressive things, and they're going to be considered better than Jordan, like LeBron. And I know a lot of people are going to hate that, and I'm not going to get into it now because we're in January NFL playoffs. But Dwayne Wade is right. Eventually, everybody's forgotten. And we move on to the next greatest thing, and then the next decade, there's a next greatest superstar. I mean, remember, folks, Zion Williamson was coming out, and he's going to be the next great everything. Here we are 3 years later, and Zion hasn't played in forever, and Ja Morant is dominating, and all of a sudden, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies are an incredible story and Ja Morant MVP. Like, we move on so quickly in sports that I got to give Dwayne Wade props for that. Now, this is not a move on too quickly, but somebody somewhere asked Curry about the 96 Bulls versus the 2017 Warriors. And I know this is a great conversation for like June when the Warriors are in the finals and not a great January topic, but because Curry mentioned it, I thought I'd just toss it out there before I get to a final NBA topic. 96 Bulls, 2017 Warriors. You guys know my feelings. The Jordan Bulls in 96 get smoked by the 17 Warriors. I don't think it's close. I've been saying this for years. I said it on the radio. BJ Armstrong came on. He was all heated and upset at me, and I kind of not smacked him down, but I was like, listen, BJ, I mean, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they went 15-1 in the playoffs. One loss. And the one loss was a historic three-point shooting night in the finals by LeBron and Kyrie Irving. I think Kevin Love hit like 7 threes or something. I mean, that was the most dominant postseason run in the history of the NBA. They killed everyone. The 96 Bulls were great, no doubt about it. They were awesome. One of the great teams of all time. And the one question that everybody says, well, Jay, well, what rules are we playing by? 90s rules? Or current rules? Because current rules, Warriors win, but the 90s rules, the Bulls win. And there's this hagiography, you guys love when I use that word, about 90s basketball and most particularly Jordan. Well, come on, in the 80s, you couldn't go in the lane. I mean, Michael Jordan was getting killed and they could. Yeah, Michael Jordan was getting killed and the Bulls didn't win anything. You remember that? The Pistons would rough him up, and he couldn't get by them. And it's not like the Pistons stopped roughing up Jordan. The Pistons got old and retired. The Knicks did the same damn thing and pushed Jordan multiple times. They just were doing it with dudes who were like Anthony Mason and John Starks, who were gritty MFs, who I loved. But they weren't like Isaiah Thomas level. Isaiah Thomas is one of the great point guards in the history of the league. John Starks was bagging groceries and then like a couple years later guarding Michael Jordan. Like, I mean, let's be realistic. Other than Patrick Ewing, those Knicks teams did not have a ton of talent. They won with great coaching from Pat Riley and toughness and grit. And that's how they were able to push the Bulls. But the physical nature, it definitely worked. Now, this idea that, oh, Steph Curry's too soft, he couldn't handle it. Like, give me a break. You don't think anyone's never tried to rough up Steph Curry? I mean, hell, go look at the, I think it was the 16 finals. Dellavedova. LeBron. Come on. This idea that, like, this era is super soft and the 90s are so tough, it is just such, it's laughable, guys. I mean, that's the reality of it. Now, the 80s was rough and tumble, and it was a completely different league. And then they had to change the rules. They had to. I mean, the NBA, it was just like, don't you remember in like the early 2000s, right after Jordan retired, everybody just said, oh, we'll just play super physical basketball. And NBA final scores were like 89-73. It was like unwatchable. It just wasn't a good brand of basketball. That's why they changed the rules. They didn't change it so people could just score. It was just really bad basketball. When it's so rough and tumble that you, it's only that like the, I think it was a Pistons Spurs finals where like one game, one team topped 100 points, I think. That's not really, not only is it not eye pleasing, but it's just, it's not fun when all it is a bunch of pounding in the lane and free throws and, you know, missed shots because nobody was skilled. Like, it's just not good basketball. I don't know why you'd go back to those rules. What do you want to play? Prison rules? That's one of my favorites, where they show, if you guys are on Instagram and like Ball is Life or one of these Swish Cultures or whatever it is, they show like these playground pickup games and these guys are just hacking and fouling and clobbering each other. It's like, what are we doing? Prison rules? Is that really, people want to see that? I don't want to play in that. If you're playing pickup hoops and you see some hacks, you're just like, get me away from these guys. What the hell? No, thank you. I don't want to play with these bums. That's what 90s NBA was. It's ugly basketball. Sorry.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Speaking of ugly basketball, how about the Sixers? They come out and essentially say, we're still not trading Ben Simmons. Sorry, thank you. Ben Simmons says, I'm sorry, I'm still not ready to play. Mentally, I'm just not there. It's pretty clear. Ben's just not playing. And then you look at the standings, like, how are the Sixers? Oh, goodness. Fifth in the East? A point differential worse than the 500 Celtics? What are the Sixers doing? Why don't they just trade Ben Simmons? And this is Daryl Morey has a problem on his hands. Because the next thing you're going to hear is Joel Embiid saying, hey, guys, can I get some help in here? Like, this is just other. And they just won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row to get over 500. And I mean, Joel Embiid's playing out of his mind. He's great. But as you know, he's always hurt. He's already missed 12 games this year, and he's going to miss many more. But, you know, at what point do we look at, geez, Joel Embiid's 27? And we're going to waste a good year where he's like an all-NBA center. He's averaging 27 and 10. Guys, let's just trade Ben Simmons. And Daryl Morey is principled and saying, I'm just not doing that. And I wonder how close we get to, all of a sudden, an upset Joel Embiid saying, listen, we got to move him because I need help. Because that's where Joel Embiid is. He needs help. And Morey's got himself in quite the pickle. I'm sure he's watching that Nets team very closely and hoping there's some kind of implosion and they can get Harden. But as it stands now, I don't know what they do. Like, you can't go in as the 5 seed. You're going to get waxed in the second round, that's for sure. As long as the top seeds are healthy, Sixers are getting bounced pretty quickly. They're just not that good this year. I mean, yeah, Tobias Harris. I saw the rumor on social media. Oh, the Sixers could package Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons. And I think Kyle Kuzma was the one who chimed in. Who's taking on $80 million in salaries? And then, you know, of course, every single Lakers fan is like, over here, we'll give you Russell Westbrook. But it is weird because Tobias Harris is highly paid and nobody thinks of him that way. But he's averaging 18 and 7. You know, he's a solid player. If Tobias Harris is your 3, you're in great shape. I think you're in really good shape. And that's why last year's Sixers meltdown hurt so badly. Because Tobias Harris was their 3rd best player. Problem is, with no Ben Simmons, he's your 2nd. And he's not really a number 2, I don't think. Tyrese Maxey's playing excellent. Seth Curry, of course, having a tremendous year. And that's not a knock on the guy. Tobias Harris ideally is a 3. Listen, I'm a realist. I'll close out with this. So I went and played pickup hoops last weekend with some buddies. And the way they structure it is they do the first 5 on the list and then the next 5. It's not like even matching up teams. So my buddies knew this. And they're like, all right, we'll kind of get there and we'll just pick up 5 slots, 6 through 10. So we're on a team. And, of course, we know each other. We set screens. We help defense. We talk. Meanwhile, you know, the other teams are all like one-on-one bullshit. And, of course, we destroy this team in the first game 21-4. And by this point, end of the first game, you know, the gym's full, and it's filled with guys who I haven't seen in a while, like, because of COVID. And a couple of my buddies, you know, are like, Jay, what did you do? You guys bring a team up in here? What? What are you guys doing? And on this team, one of the guys had a cup of coffee, I think, at UC Irvine. Another one was the former Notre Dame quarterback I've mentioned on the pod before, Dane Crist. And then another one's like this 49-year-old dude who's the most fundamentally sound player ever. He would love to have him on your team. And he looks a little older, but I'm telling you, man, this guy's just tremendous. And then another guy who's good lefty, and then me. And I told my buddy who set this up, I'm like, listen, I'm arrogant. I know my strengths and my weaknesses, but if I'm our 5th best player, we're not losing today. And I'm probably our 5th best player on this team. And I, you know me. Come on. I am all about pickup basketball and trying hard and having fun. And of course, I probably think I'm a little better than I am, but who doesn't? Does Tobias Harris realize, like, man, I'm getting max money. I'm a good shooter. I'm a 3-and-D wing-ish kind of guy. I'm a borderline all-star every year, but I'm probably not an all-star every year. He knows. If he's the second-best player, they're not winning. It's like the ever all-time question, like Paul George. If he's your best player, can you win a title? If he's your second-best, can you? Oh, hell yeah. And then you ask the question of, like, you know, Devin Booker was the one in Phoenix for the longest time. Then Chris Paul comes along. And Chris Paul's their best player. And Devin Booker's now your number two. Devin Booker, your two? Oh, my gosh. This guy's an Olympian, an all-pro, all-NBA. Hell yeah, the Suns are in the mix. And I know that's not, like, the greatest way to look at it because there's so much else that gets involved in defense and strategy and all that stuff. But the bottom line is right now the Sixers are desperate. Tyrese Maxey ain't your second best player. He cannot be if you plan on winning a title. Now, you could look at other teams. Trust me, the East has its problems. Bulls, great game against the Nets, by the way. The Bulls are near the top. The Nets are there. You know the Miami Heat are going to be there in the Bucks. And at this point, Sixers are not cracking top four. And I remember being on Undisputed in August, and I said this. The Heat are probably the second best team in the East, and they might end up second. Bulls eventually will fade a little bit. I like the Bulls a lot. You guys know this. We had Preston on before the season. Bulls are going to do damage. Ultimately, I think they will recede a little bit, and I think the Heat will end up either two or three, maybe ahead of Milwaukee. But then you're like, are the Sixers beating any of those teams in the first round? They probably want to draw the Bulls, obviously, because Joel Embiid would eat against Vucevic. But I don't like the cut of this Sixers team. I just don't like the cut of their jib. And if I don't know who you package, but you've got to get Ben and somebody and make a move. And Morey doesn't want to. It's becoming one of these standoff things. And I'll just put this on your radar for post-NFL come, you know, mid-late February. What happens when Joel Embiid says? Because he can't blame Ben. Ben don't want to play. That's a brick wall you're running into. You need to go to the GM and be like, bro, I know you don't want to deal Ben. We've got to get whatever we can. If you got to go get CJ McCollum, get me CJ McCollum. Now, can CJ be your second best player and Tobias Harris your third? I don't know. I mean, Damian Lillard's now out for 8 weeks, so Portland's toasted. I don't know, folks. This is going to get it. NBA will get interesting eventually. Still all about the NFL for now. Remember, gambling, NFL, wild card weekend. Lock in, folks. It's going to be fun. We'll talk to you tomorrow.